From Spark and Anvil and Cardforge, this is Bluffer and Reader in Chapter 1 of the Cardforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The air inside the Cardforge Club room always carried the faint, comforting scent of cardboard and cinnamon. It was a smell of old stories and new possibilities. Tonight, a single card lay face up in the center of a small, scarred wooden table. The glimmering grimoire seemed to pulse with a soft inner light. Its painted cover shimmered under the warm glow of the overhead lamp, promising secrets to anyone who could unlock it. On one side of the table, Bluffer leaned back slightly. A fan of three cards was held so close to their chest that the top edges nearly brushed their nose. A tiny, unreadable smile played on their lips, a secret held just for themselves. Reader, however, ignored the grimoire's allure. Their gaze wasn't even on the cards in Bluffer's hand. Instead, Reader studied the slight tension in Bluffer's knuckles, a telltale whiteness from gripping the cards too tightly. Reader leaned forward, chin resting on a cupped hand, a picture of calm concentration. The silence between them grew thick, charged with an unspoken question. What truth did those hidden cards conceal? "Any day now," Reader said, their voice a low, thoughtful hum. "The grimoire isn't going to open itself." Bluffer's smile widened, just a fraction. "Patience, my friend," Bluffer replied, their eyes twinkling with mischief. "A good forger knows when to wait for the metal to heat up, and a good player knows when to let their opponent think." The words were a gentle prod, a dare hanging in the quiet air. "Go on. Try to guess what I'm truly thinking."
Bluffer's mind was not a whirl of possibilities, but a carefully constructed labyrinth of choices. Three cards nestled in their hand: the utterly useless Soggy Shoelace, the equally uninteresting Polished Pebble, and the one card that held all the power, the Rusted Key. The key was the only tool in this particular teaching deck capable of unlocking the ancient glimmering grimoire. Winning this round depended entirely on Reader's ability to discern if Bluffer truly held that key, or if it was all a clever deception. Playing the pebble, Bluffer mused, would be a safe, almost invisible move. It offers no information, no clue. Reader might simply assume I'm biding my time, perhaps even that I don't possess the key at all. A solid, if unremarkable, strategy. But the shoelace, Bluffer's gaze flickered up, meeting Reader's steady, unblinking eyes. The Soggy Shoelace is so spectacularly useless, so utterly absurd, it practically screams for attention. It's a declaration. "Look at me, I'm playing a terrible card." It's a deliberate distraction, a bit of theatrical flair. It might trick Reader into believing I have nothing important, which paradoxically could make them suspect I have everything. This wasn't merely a game of cards. It was a delicate dance of information, a puzzle built on what was shown and what was deliberately hidden. The true power of the move lay not in the card itself, but in the story it would tell. Bluffer settled on a narrative of misdirection. With a dramatic, almost theatrical flourish, Bluffer plucked the Soggy Shoelace from their hand. They slid it onto the table with a flourish that seemed to demand applause. "There," Bluffer declared, leaning back with an air of immense, almost exaggerated satisfaction. "Your move."
Reader's eyes narrowed, not at the ridiculous card, but at the entire performance. The grand flourish. The confident, almost arrogant lean back. It was all part of the signal Bluffer was sending. The card itself, the Soggy Shoelace, held no inherent power or special ability within the game. It was mere clutter. So why, Reader wondered, would Bluffer choose to play it with such fanfare?
A shoelace, Reader murmured, tapping a thoughtful finger on the polished wood of the table. And a soggy one at that.
not exactly the ideal tool for opening a magical book, is it? Reader carefully weighed the available facts. Bluffer could have played the pebble, a quiet, neutral action that would have offered no discernible clues. Instead, Bluffer had selected the loudest, most conspicuously silly card in their hand. It felt like a magician waving a bright red scarf with one hand, drawing every eye to the spectacle, while the other hand deftly concealed the true trick. The shoelace was that red scarf, designed to monopolize Reader's attention. "Bluffer wants me to focus on the shoelace," Reader reasoned. "They want me to get lost in the question, why would anyone play such a terrible card? They want to sow confusion. But often, the simplest explanation holds the most truth. The shoelace," Reader concluded, "was nothing more than a smokescreen, a big, floppy, obvious distraction meant to obscure the small, crucial item Bluffer truly held." The answer clicked into place, suddenly and perfectly clear.
"A very bold move," Reader said, their voice smooth and utterly devoid of emotion. They made no move to play a card against the shoelace. There was no need. Instead, Reader reached for one of their own cards, a watchful owl they had placed on the table during an earlier turn. Reader gently, almost imperceptibly, tapped the owl's image. "My owl," Reader announced softly, "will keep a very close eye on the grimoire." This simple action had no direct effect on the soggy shoelace, yet it sent an unmistakable countersignal back to Bluffer. "I'm not fooled by your distraction. My attention is fixed on the real prize, and I know you possess it." Bluffer's confident smile faltered, just for a fleeting heartbeat. The theatrics, the grand performance, had utterly failed. The big, flashy signal had been not just ignored, but seen through. Reader hadn't taken the bait. The pressure now shifted, settling squarely back onto Bluffer's shoulders. If Bluffer chose to use the rusted key now, Reader's watchful owl would immediately trigger a special rule, granting Reader an extra turn. Bluffer's clever plan had been fully exposed, understood, and neatly countered, all without a single direct challenge. The game was no longer about what was hidden, but about the profound understanding that now existed between them.
Bluffer let out a long, slow sigh, a sound of both mild defeat and grudging admiration. They tipped their remaining cards over for Reader to see. There, beside the useless polished pebble, lay the gleaming, undeniable truth, the rusted key. "The red scarf," Reader said with a gentle, knowing smile. "The soggy shoelace was simply too much. It practically screamed for me to look for what you were hiding." "I thought the spectacle might dazzle you," Bluffer admitted, already gathering the cards and shuffling them back into the deck. "I sent too strong a signal. If I had played the quiet pebble, you might have been left truly wondering." "Exactly," Reader agreed, their gaze steady. "Sometimes what you don't say, or what you don't do, is far more important. Your loud play told me everything I needed to know. It confirmed you definitely held the key." They began to meticulously set up the example again, preparing for the next round. "So," Bluffer mused, picking up their new hand, a thoughtful expression on their face, "every action sends a message, even the silly ones." "Especially the silly ones," Reader corrected warmly. They both looked across the table, a shared understanding passing between them. Bluffer felt the small sting of being read soften into something warmer, a quiet, glad pride at having a friend who saw them so clearly. The grimoire gleamed between them, and for a calm moment, neither of them cared who had won.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Bluffer and Reader. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.